Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Today's the day we deepen your understanding. I hope we're always doing that, but especially today, because I want to go after a word that you're all familiar with. So in a sense, it's nothing new. You all know you need to cleanse. You all know you need to detox. What I find is really, you don't really understand what that word means. You have a general sense of it, but not the deep sense of it. And the reason the deep sense of it is so important is because we don't really want to do these things. We're busy. We've got kids, families. We've got jobs. We've got dreams. The last thing most people want to spend their weekend doing is cleaning out their body, fasting, so on and so forth. These purgatives that everybody yells about that are so important. And finally, you do it. Finally, you get it. You do your cleanse. And that's only the tip of the iceberg. You don't really understand deeply what it is to detox your body. And you're going to find how true this is when you tell your friends about it and they look at you bold-faced in the eye and say, "What are you doing that for? My doctor didn't tell me that that's necessary." And that's when you break down. And the reason you break down is you don't really, in the depth of yourself, understand what you're doing. That's what I want to change today. So give me 60 minutes, and we'll see, as always, if we can bring you to a deeper understanding of why you're supposed to spend your time, energy, and money, hard-earned money, doing these things instead of going out to your favorite golf game. Here we go. Hidden toxins in your body and how they cause disease. Number one. We make toxins. Get that one straight. We make them. Do you know how most people die of disease? Most people die of disease in renal, meaning kidney, or liver failure. Simple fact. Cancer, terminal cancer. There's an expression out of Germany, and we've adapted it, that you never die of cancer. You die of renal or liver failure. What that means is, the poisons in the case of cancer and every other disease that you ultimately die of are really a product of not being able to move out the poisons that your body's making fast enough. So when we talk about urea, ammonia, creatinine, when we talk about various chemicals that the body produces in normal metabolism, God gave us a liver and a kidney and the skin and the breath, as in carbon dioxide, and the lymph and the biliary system, the bile ducts of the gallbladder, etc., to remove these things. Because the minute we don't, it doesn't matter if we're a bunch of cavemen 25,000 years ago. The minute we can't remove the natural products of our metabolism, we're dead. So when we talk about detox, what are we detoxing? What does that really mean? We've got natural chemicals, to which then, of course, in the last couple of centuries, we have added an infinite array, as many stars as you see in the universe, is the number of chemicals, millions upon millions, that we've created. Some of them are harmless, some of them are harmful. But you know, there's an expression that even salt can kill you. So there's lots of concepts about poisons that you've got to start to understand. It's not just that this poison can kill you, like DDT or dioxin or the PCBs, or the polycyclic aromatics, or the metals, or the radioactive metals like uranium, strontium-90. It's not that these chemicals can kill you. It's that even if they're neutral, like salt, if they're in a high enough concentration, you're dead anyway. And what does that mean? It means there's a deeper understanding for you. Let's talk about the cell. I want to start with the cell. Because when you get a symptom, your cell is not happy. When you get a disease, your cell has adapted to a relentless, infinite, nonstop, intelligent array of attacks to which it's constantly trying to recruit its chemical defenses to, and a war erupts. And the product of that war between the good guys and the bad guys is the inflammatory response. So we're all living, all of us, in some degree of inflammatory retrograde, which simply means part of your cell is always breaking down. And we don't want that, particularly your membrane, that fatty membrane. Those of you who are fat deficient, who don't have grease on your face, whose skin is dry, whose biliary system's congested, who doesn't understand the difference between a raw fat and a cooked fat. Those of you who are fat, that think because you're fat, you're not fat deficient. If you're fat from trans fats, hydrogenated fats, garbage heated fats, if that's your fat, you're still fat deficient. If you're skinny because you're a vegan and you don't eat enough fat, not that a vegan would, but lots of vegans just don't eat enough fat. The meat eaters eat the wrong fat. The vegans don't eat enough fat. If your body fat is so low that you don't even get your period each month, many of you are like that. You're fat deficient. If you're fat deficient, the membrane of your cell is mostly cholesterol. That terrible thing that everyone's so worried about having, cholesterol, if the cholesterol's too high. Little side note, people in anabolic phases, people that you work with that were trying to finally build into that bionic person they want to become, their cholesterol will shoot to the sky. Do you know why? Because the liver is taking a cue to start to feed the membrane of the cell. Because the body knows that you can't build a body unless you build the membrane. Why does that membrane need to be built in many of you deficient types? Because you've broken it down. What's broken it down? One thing that's broken it down are these chemicals. They knock on the skin of the grape. Your cell is the skin of a grape. So the first attack is on the front door, which is the membrane of the cell, filled with luscious raw fats. Phosphatidylcholine, ethanolamine, phosphatidylserine. These are the sphingolipids of the membrane of the cell, not to mention the cholesterol. But if these chemicals get through, because they can get through the membrane of the cell, they get to the meat of the cell, the cytoplasm, the protoplasm, or the guts of the grape. And once they're in there, the cell tries to sequester them. It tries to form cysts, encapsulations of these pieces of garbage. We call these blebs, like blob, but bleb. You can take the cell of a 90-year-old man and look for the number of blebs in it, in his brain cell. It'll tell you biologically how old that man is. He could be 90 years old chronologically and 20 years old biologically. At the same time, you can take a 20-year-old woman that's had too much sun and too much drugs, too much ecstasy chelating to her spinal cord, too much cocaine, too much this, that, and the other thing, and take the cell in that young body, pick your organ, the bone marrow, the liver, the brain, and you put that cell under a microscope, and that cell in the cytoplasm may have so many blebs that the cell is about to signal a relentless cascade of destruction, apoptosis, meaning that cell may be biologically 90 years old, even though that woman chronologically is 20 years old. So it's got to get past the membrane and in to the guts of the cell. And after the guts of the cell, what we all should be concerned with then is the nuclear membrane. There's another membrane around the nucleus, around the chromosomes of the cell, which are composed of the genes of the cell. And those genes are composed of sequences in a double helical structure of nucleotides, adenine, thymine, guanine, so on and so forth. And these nucleotide sequences are what we call the DNA. And the DNA, as we well know, is bound in these helical structures. A double helix is the general shape of the molecule, and each nucleotide is bound across the street to its adjacent nucleotide in pairs. And the body's constantly altering, monitoring, maintaining the breakdown in these nucleotide sequences. We have enzymes. We have the police department. We have the fire department. We have the ambulances constantly patrolling the nucleotides to make sure that the sequences, when they're broken, they get repaired. They get repaired fast and on the money because they're constantly stressed by all these chemicals that are getting in and interfering with the normal replication pattern. Now, how much stress do you want to give your DNA? How much stress do you want to give your cytoplasm? How much stress do you want to give into the membrane of your cell? And don't you understand? If the work is in the membrane, it's 1 year. If the work is in the cytoplasm, it's 2 to 3 years. If you're trying to repair and reconfigure the DNA, it's 5 to 10 years. You need a decade to redo yourself. Oh, I'll just do a liver cleanse. How's the cleansing going? Well, I do a liver cleanse for a week once a year. That's what I can do. You drank the Kool-Aid. You're 100 years out of phase. We have made literally hundreds and millions of mutagenic chemicals in the last century. And a cleanse a year doesn't cut it. You have to have a deeper understanding. And there's your first piece or jewel. There's your first clinical pearl. When we're talking about cleansing, on what level? Are we repairing the membrane of the cell? Are we throwing out the garbage in the cytoplasm of the cell? Or are we seriously ill or almost seriously ill, and are we going after what's within the DNA? I'll do a whole other show on how we know who's who, but let me cut it to the chase right now. It's you. Don't take a chance. If you're over the age of 50 years old, it's in your DNA. I kid you not. Now, what you bring to your DNA to maintain the proper biological spatial configurations is different than what your friend brings to maintain those biological configurations. The stereochemistry, the spatial orientation of your molecules, which is the integrity of your DNA, the strength of those good bonds. Everybody brings a different amount of strength to those bonds. Yes, that's true. Well, you know it's true. Even your MD knows it's true. And do you know what that's called? It's called your inherited strength. It's called your genetic tendency. It's called, well, you got breast cancer or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's because it's in your genes. One person holds the genetic material in their brain with more integrity than somebody else. So one person gets sick and the other person doesn't. Everybody's got strengths and weaknesses relative to each organ system in terms of their genetic strength. That's the simplistic version of reality. I hope deeper than what you already came in with 14 minutes ago. But the point is that eventually, The stresses will break down anybody's integrity. And the body's constantly bringing to this integrity its reserve energy. So, we have chemicals that attack the front door, the living room, and the safe in the bedroom underneath the bed. And then we have police that patrol, and firemen and ambulance drivers that patrol to make sure before we have a massive meltdown, we nip it in the bud. But when the number of hits per unit second overwhelms our reserve energies, which are in part hormonal and in part just blatant the way you were born, when they're overwhelmed, the cell begins to break down faster than it repairs. So it's breaking down faster than it repairs. Your heart cell's trying to pump. Your kidney cell is trying to filter. Your liver cell is trying to transaminate. It's trying to denature. It's trying to do whatever it needs to do. And finally, it can't repair, and so it can't function. So the heart cell stops working, and the kidney cell stops working, and the liver cell stops working. No, it doesn't stop. It slows down. So here's another pearl for you. Everybody's depressed physiologically to some extent. So Mr. Smith may be, from the time he was 15 and now he's 50, he may be 25% depressed in liver function. He's slowed down that much in terms of the optimal physiology of the liver. Now, Mr. Jones, maybe 50% degenerated. And Mr. Axelrod may be 80% degenerated within his liver function. And you can add this up per unit organ. So what's the point? The point is, you can't say that somebody doesn't need to cleanse if your reference point, you can't say there's no need to cleanse if your reference point is optimal physiological function. When we talk about all these chemicals, our body can remove these chemicals. The metals, mercury, lead, arsenic, cadmium, aluminum, strontium 90, uranium. Our body knows how to remove these through the liver, through the kidneys, through the lymph, through the skin, through the breath, through the colon. You got to poop them out through the colon. But it assumes optimal physiological function. What happens when the concentration of these chemicals builds to the point where you can't get them out fast enough and they're stuck in the blood? The body's looking for exit routes. The brain is up there eyeballing the PCBs, the dioxins, the DDT derivatives, the styrene, the toluene, the polycyclic aromatics, the mercury, the lead, the arsenic, the strontium 90. The brain is up there seeing these things in the blood, and the brain is in a frenzy. It's saying to the kidney, to the liver, to the skin, get rid of this. And when those organs have depressed their physiology significantly, the brain has no choice but to shunt, but to push these terrible chemicals into deposit sites in the body. So I'll just do a liver cleanse, and that'll take the strontium 90 out of my bone. Are you kidding? What planet are you on? Do not confuse the commercial dynamic of the cleanse with the reality of the physiology of the body, especially if you're sick. Because you're going to try a cleanse, do a cleanse. It's going to make you feel sicker. You're not going to feel like you got any effect if it doesn't make you sicker. And you're going to conclude, what does this have to do with my aplastic anemia? What does it have to do with my toxicities undefined that have kept me sick and in bed for the last 5 years? What does it have to do with my early stage fibrosis of bone marrow? What does it have to do with my early stage Parkinson's? You name the problem. And once you're given up in the allopathic system, you go out and do these cleanses. And what do you find? A lot of times these cleanses make you sicker or they don't work. And there you are with all your poison chelated to the tissues of your brain, scarred up there. So you don't know where you are. So you've got some level of dementia. You can't remember where you are and you're only 68 years old. And you can't understand why the advice of a loved one didn't give you the target you were looking for. It didn't help you. Because you're not understanding the depth of the issue. So let's understand this process then that we call the cleanse. Cleanse what? Rebuild the cell wall? Throw out all the blebs or encapsulated garbage bags inside the protoplasm of the cell? Or rebuild the DNA? You've got three levels there. It's easy to rebuild the cell membrane. That's the person that's got low-grade free radical damage that hasn't attacked the deeper structures. These people are 40 or 50. They feel like garbage. It hurts to walk. It hurts to move. Their memories are shot. They fall asleep. They don't know who they are anymore. They remember when they were in college, in high school, the good old days, and now they're sitting there. And they know they're on the verge of something, but not quite. And they cleanse. And they repair what ultimately ends up being the membrane of the cell for the most part. They open up the organs of elimination, which we're going to get to in a moment. These organs of elimination that they open, the renal tubule of the kidney, the glomerulus of the kidney, the bile ducts of the liver, upregulation of the function of the liver itself. We say liver cleanse. Let's clarify this thing about liver cleanse. The liver does about 1,600 things that really have nothing to do with cleansing it. Much of how you upregulate liver function is simply related to feeding the liver and allowing it to regrow itself so that it can successfully perform hundreds of those functions. Now, when we say cleaning the liver, if I wanted to be most succinct about cleaning the liver, we're simply talking about opening the bile ducts. Because those bile ducts are way up deep in the liver, into the common bile duct, the right and left hepatic duct, down the common bile duct, dropped in to the sphincter of Oddi, intersecting with the pancreatic duct and dumping bile, toxic bile, into your intestinal tract. But when we say liver, when we say kidney, when we say opening the skin, we're talking about eliminating, okay, optimizing the possibility that we can eliminate poison. But just because your exit signs are open doesn't mean the body's going to give up the poison. That's big. I'm going to repeat that because that's really big. Just because your organs of elimination are open doesn't mean your body's going to give up that poison. That dioxin, that DDT, that styrene can be bound. It can be the very tough stain on the carpet. If it's the very tough stain on the carpet, you still got to open up those organs of elimination. But that doesn't mean it's going to come out of your brain. It doesn't mean it's going to come out of your bone marrow. It doesn't mean it's going to come out of your cortical bone. It doesn't mean all the mucus packs in between the cells are going to give up the poison. Suppose the poison is granulated into your tissues. Just because you've opened up the organ of elimination doesn't mean your body's going to give it up. That's a big, big, big understanding. Can you get that one? Understand that. The kidney is taking out the water-soluble toxins, water-soluble. If you have something like a pesticide, it's fat-soluble, which means you can take DDT and mix it in your olive oil and your butter, and it'll mix together. You can take fat and mix a pesticide into it. Take some Raid, an insect killer, and mix it into some oil. It mixes. Mix it into water, you'll see it separate into two layers. That's because Raid, or an insecticide, is lipophilic. It mixes with fat. So guess what? The first thing a smart body does, once the poison comes into the blood, if the body's elimination organs, in this case the liver and gallbladder, because that's where the fat-soluble toxins go, in this case, if you can't get it out your liver gallbladder, the body will try the kidney, but usually a fat-soluble toxin is not going to come out the kidney. So the body stores it in your fat. If it can find some fat, and if you're the very skinny type, if you're malnourished, if you're sick with illness, and you ingest that poison, it goes into the fat of your brain, the fat of your spinal cord, the fat of your cell membrane, because it doesn't have any fat to go there, which is why, believe it or not, contrary to American wisdom today, a layer of clean fat's not a bad fat to have. A layer of about 10 to 20 pounds of fat's not really a bad thing. How could I say that? My God. What a horrendous assertion. We all have to be bone dry. We all have to be 7% body fat as male and 12 to 13% body fat as female. Therefore, you can't pinch an inch, or even if you pinch an inch. But talk about an extra 20 pounds of lard on the body. My God. Lest we all look like Eskimos, and that be the end of common day marketing. So you got to understand, fat's got a purpose. You know, we understood that at the turn of the century. Overweight people were called robust. Now, yes, many of us were starving. So if you really had too much fat, this was called robust. And robust simply meant you had enough food to eat. So we exaggerated perhaps at the turn of the century, but you see, people off the farm are never skinny. Their bones are thick. They're always packing an extra 20. Some amalgam of fat and muscle excess is always to be found on farm people. That's what we're trying to say, and it reflects what happens if you don't have that reserve. Without that reserve, when you take poisons in, those poisons go to the fat they can find, and that's your bone marrow. That's your brain. That's your spinal cord. That's the fat in the organs. Didn't I just say the cell membrane is fat? So why wouldn't it go there if it can't go to the fat on your belly, the fat on your buttocks? So you got to understand there's a hierarchy in the body. Where the body puts that dangerous, mutagenic, carcinogenic toxin, where the body stores that is about a whole series of decisions. And when the body's going to release that is about a whole series of decisions. So as a rule of thumb, the sicker you are, the longer it takes. Now, this is the purpose of the show. This is why we don't sell on this show. This show grants you the gift of not selling, in that I can focus very deeply on a process. So when you do purchase an herb, you understand why you're purchasing the herb. If you're taking turmeric, say in a product called Liver Nano ND or Gallbladder ND, if you're taking a purgative, a bowel purgative, a liver purgative, you're understanding more deeply what to expect. When you cleanse your gallbladder with all those wonderful herbs you can purchase, you're only opening the organ of elimination. That doesn't mean the poison's coming out. But here's the thing. the brain will never let the poison come out until you open up those organs first. So sequentially, which is not reality, but sequentially, you have to open up the colon. You have to open up the liver. You have to open up the kidneys. What does it mean to open up the kidneys? It means to repair the glomerulus. It means not to overwhelm the glomerulus, which is the capillary tuft in the liver that takes out poison. And then just before we excreted its urine, there's something in the kidney called the tubule, the renal tubule. These things tend to fibrose. And you don't get the right diffusion across the tubule of the minerals, the sodium, the potassium, the calcium. What we retain and what we eliminate. What we eliminate and what we throw back after the glomerulus has taken it out. This is all part of a rather complicated mechanism in the kidney, but the point to you is, until the kidney feels pretty good about its optimal physiological function, until the liver gallbladder feels pretty good about its optimal physiological function, until the lung excretes optimally, until the skin excretes optimally, until the lymph moves optimally, until the colon just throws its waste out optimally. Did you move that bowel movement from a puny little one in the morning to two big ones a day optimally? Until that happens, the brain, which is surveying all of this, isn't this exciting? Doesn't this just blow your mind? Blows my mind. The brain is watching all of this. Why don't people understand this? I still can't understand. How could we be out there cleansing this long, not understanding these principles? I don't understand. And that's those of you that cleanse. But how can you really cleanse if you don't understand these things? Cleansing takes discipline. Healing illness takes patience. What are you going to hang your discipline and your patience on? What are you going to hang the amount of money it costs to do these things on? Somebody's genteel advice on the cover of a newsletter saying, cleanse, I did, it worked for me. I don't think it cuts it. It cuts it if you're 25 years old and running marathons. But if you're 50 or 60 or 70 and you're facing the stuff, meaning that coalescence, unfortunately, when you realize your dreams didn't come true, you feel like your faith has been truly challenged, and you don't have enough energy to get up in the morning to go to work. How does just some genteel piece of advice suffice? How can you hang your hand on that? Thus the show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, if you're listening to this show today. Why aren't you telling your friends? And if you are, bravo. And if you're not, grab them by the ear and sit them down in front of the computer at your convenience and theirs. Because the shows are all archived. Listen to this one. If you're not doing that, you're not helping. You need to help. All of us need this show. Because I assure you, people don't really get what they're doing. I've got 60 shows just about now. They provide answers in a non-commercial form. Take advantage of that. So do yourself and do me a favor and get the word out. That's my advertisement for today. Back to the show. So, where are we going to go now that we've got biliary patency? Right. If you did the liver cleanse, you got to see bile. If you did the kidney cleanses, make sure you felt those granules of calcium oxalate sand coming down your ureter, down the shaft of the penis, down the female urethra. Hopefully it burned a little. Maybe it bled a little. But assuredly then, you knew you were moving that sand, that calcium oxalate sand, down through your ureters and out of your body. We want proof that you're actually cleansing. We want to see bile. We want to see or feel kidney sand. We want to know that you're sweating way more than you ever sweat. that you barely sweat, and now you sweat profusely. That the first month in the infrared sauna, you barely sweat, and now you sweat at the drop of a dime profusely. When you exercise, we want to know you're sweating. We want to know that you feel like your skin is breathing when you dry brush it in the morning. We want to know that after 5 minutes in the morning, your breath doesn't smell. Ah, you haven't heard of that one. Sure. People's breath often smells. And it smells in the morning. Sure it does. And instead of the mouthwash, 3-4 minutes into the morning, it shouldn't smell. It shouldn't even smell when you wake up. But if you've had that shift where the breath is clean, hopefully all the time, from when it wasn't, you've what? You've opened up the breath as you've cleaned your blood. And then, of course, there's the colon. Did the bowels go from that puny little one to the big one? Once you've got that working, now we can start to get to the deeper places where the poisons live. Now, what are we going to do for that? Well, we're going to assume the brain gives it all the green light. That's huge right there. Remember, the brain is watching. Remember, we've had an upgrade in your physiology now. Remember, the concentration of poison has been a factor. The bioaccumulation of poison has been a factor, meaning how much, for how long, have you been exposed to poison? Meaning, how have these poisons chelated or bonded ionically or covalently? If the bond is ionic, meaning just a plus-minus attraction, that's not as tough as breaking a covalent bond. A covalent bond is a much stronger bond. It requires much stronger infusions of health energy into the cell, into the organ, to break a devastatingly harmful covalent bond. So you have bonding strengths. Give you an example. When your metals, and this is assuming all your organs of elimination are open, that could be 2 years. Oh, I'll just do a liver cleanse. It could be 2 years. You could do 60, 70 coffee enemas before you see bile. Lest you say ignorant and think that just because you did one, you cleaned. No, until you see bile, you didn't get anywhere. Or not to critical mass. Or not to where you're going to feel a huge shift. So assuming you're cleansing correctly, we go to these other considerations. Are we ionically or covalently bonded? Let's take mercury. Let's take the metals. When a metal sees a healthy chemical bond, it looks at one of the atoms in that healthy chemical bond and it seduces it. It says, hi, I'm mercury, I'm strontium, I'm uranium, and I am a sexier, more appealing atom to engage in this what was a healthy bond. And now I will seduce this healthy bond into an unhealthy bond, and the body just eats it. The body drinks the Kool-Aid. The body goes for it. The body's been seduced by the radioactive metal. Or what's happening over there in Japan now? All that they're telling us? Or are we all bathing here on the West Coast in debris from Japan? And if not, and hopefully not, of course, perhaps we're talking right now to the poor people of Japan that went through this devastating issue. Point is, those radioactive metals, will go in and seduce out covalently. And once you get a radioactive atom covalently bonded, meaning they share electrons, covalently bonded, you have a problem, my friend. And many of us are covalently bonded with poison. You better have all your organs of elimination working optimally, or the brain will not initiate a repletion, a dissolution, a degranulation, a of any of that covalently bonded, even ionically bonded matter. But let's get to it now. How are we going to do this anyway? Well, you've got to understand the word chelation. Oh, yeah, chelation therapy. No, forget chelation therapy. Chelation simply means some agent, a chelating agent, something that goes into the body that forces an exchange between the dangerous bond and the good bond. And one of the great chelators of the last 300 years. It's not expensive. It's not hard to find. It's right in front of your face, except no one eats it. It's called raw fat. Raw fat. This is hard science. Raw fat is the ultimate solvent. It goes and it finds the lipophilic toxins, big word for the poisons that love to bind to the fat in your membrane, the fat in your bone marrow, the fat in your brain, the fat in all the nerves around the brain and spinal cord, the fat inside your organs. Any place you had a poison that your body was forced to store the poison because you could not remove it fast enough, because the concentration of the poison outweighed the concentration or the ability of your body to remove the poison. Anywhere you got it, if you purge it and eat large amounts of raw fat, please don't ask me what that means. Avocado, olive, all the oils. Oh, yes, I take my tablespoon or two of EFA oil a day. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about eat fat until you put on 20 pounds of raw fat in your body. Take your body and put on weight. How out of vogue. How passe. Take your sick, tired body. Eat unlimited amounts of raw fat. Forget the carbs. Eat the raw fat, because the raw fat will chelate. It will exchange with the fat in your body, and the fat in your body is what's holding the garbage. That's a big one. You're not going to clean out your bone marrow. You're not going to clean out your brain. You're not going to clean out your spinal cord. And relative to that, forget your chelating agents. Your chelating agents are questionable, and they're force-feeding the body a chemical, EDTA, DMPT, so on and so forth, to pull out metals and any other thing they'll claim to pull out or chelate to. When really, in fact, if you take out the substrate, in other words, what these chemicals bind to, being the substrate, is the fat in your body. When that substrate matter is replaced, it has an opportunity to be replaced. The body has a chance to replace the cell membrane, brain, spinal cord, the fat of the bone marrow, the fat inside your organ systems. When the body has a chance to replace it with good fat exchanges out the bad fat. And as the bad fat is exchanged out, the garbage is flushed away. Cool. It's the body's natural mechanism. We ought to be looking at these natural mechanisms. Instead, we're looking to find these special chelators herbally or synthetically. So, yes, I think it's good. We're going to get happy because chlorella and algae, etc., will purge metals and a few other things. Fruit pectin is going to bind the organophosphates. Great. Do these things. Get good grades of it. You guys all know where to get great grades of herbs. Do it. But don't forget there's something more fundamental that's bigger and cheaper and more important. So, there's no such thing as talking about detox unless into your second year or third year. Started in your first month, are you consuming increasingly large quantities of raw fat? And guess what? Auto mechanics, people who live in the Southland near the oil refineries, people who live near the Long Beach port, people who live anywhere where you wake up in the morning, you go out, you take a deep breath of brown air, and then you peel off the front windshield of your car about a millimeter of black soot. Anybody like that? Understand that the ingestion of these fats is your lifeline to exchanging them out of your body so they don't hit critical mass. Critical mass meaning critical mass in the wrong direction. The point at which the cell living around this toxic cesspool has to adapt. First it inflames and then it adapts. First it inflames, then it adapts. So let's put a little summary here. First we have to have the chemical stressor. Then we have to make sure the organs of elimination don't work. Then we have to build the concentration of that chemical stressor. Then the brain has to send it from the blood into whatever organ it's going to bind, whether it be the marrow or the brain itself or the liver or the kidney or your ovary or whatever. And then the cell, because the concentration of the poison is so high, has to inflame. So then the cell inflames and we bring in all the pro-inflammatory chemicals and this big glob of inflamed gook begins to become your organ. The cell is fighting for life, and so it says, well, I'm overloaded, I've got a job to do, I better do something, so it changes its histology. Its form changes, it adapts and changes structurally, and so it loses some of its function. Case in point, when we inhale the great Los Angeles air down by the Long Beach port, we inhale that, and that poison goes down, and the cilia of the columnar cell in the bronchi try to remove it, try to keep it coming out rather than hitting the lung. That cilia in the columnar cell, as the cell is stressed, it will adapt to the stress and lose its cilia, and the respiratory columnar cell gets replaced with the squamous cell. The squamous cell of the bronchi now, the new cell, the adapted cell, doesn't have any hair on it. It's got no cilia. So we adapted to the stress and lost function. Your whole body's doing that. Where are the scientists that should be laying this out? Where are the MDs that should be laying this out? Where are the holistic practitioners that should be laying this out? Where is anybody laying this out? That's why if you don't tell your friends about the show, shame on you. I know I sound maybe a little cocky here. I don't care. Tough. You tell me where you can get this, and I'll tell you, go listen to that. But last time I looked, this is one of the few places you're going to get it pieced together. So if you're going to indulge yourself in this show, indulge it with two or three people. Get them to the website, straighttalk.cc. If you're just tuning in, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Let's keep going. So there you have it. The stress to the cell. You can't release it through the elimination systems. The stress builds up. The body deposits the poison in the organ systems. The cells in these organ systems, wherever they might be, have to adapt. You know what we call that? The beginning of disease. Somewhere along the line, nerve sensors, down around your cell are picking all this up. Extensions of the brain are picking all this up. I told you, the brain is watching all of this. And extensions of the brain down the spinal cord into the peripheral nerves, into the microscopic nerves of your body. You can't see them. They're as tiny as your cell. But those little fingers coming off your brain are sensing the electrochemical shift of all this snot around your cell. And they start triggering pain responses. And that's what you call a symptom. When finally those symptoms become overwhelming, the body shuts off its sensitivity. Whoa. I'm going to take a break on that one. The body shuts off its sensitivity to the stress. You mean you go numb? Yes, you go numb. Great story in New York. Back when I was in my 20s, I worked in restaurants. I was Joe the bartender down there in Manhattan. And these heavy hitters would come in. Stockbroker guys, investment guys, grandpa, the old school. It's nothing to drink a quart of scotch a night. They had livers that could handle it. They smoked cigars. This is before we banned cigarettes. These were the good old days. The money flowed, believe me. Everybody had dough. At any rate, back there in the early 80s, are these people coming in and drinking? I'm talking every single day. I know I was there. A quart of scotch a night, 2-3 packs of cigarettes, a cigar, a huge steak, the potatoes, the desserts, the whole thing. And then these cats would roll out of bed in the morning and run Wall Street. God bless them. Nobody on the streets of Santa Monica can even relate. West L.A. wouldn't last 15 seconds in New York. At any rate, I would watch this, and just the cigarette smoke made me sick. And I said to myself, am I weak? Was my 18-and-a-half-inch neck back then? My jaws like a pit bull? Was I a weakling? Was I the runt of the litter? Occasionally, I'd have to test this hypothesis on people's jawbones. Well, I wasn't weak. I wasn't the runt of the litter. So I said to myself, what's the story here? I didn't get the answer till I became a doctor. It's really simple. Those guys went numb. They're strong enough to recruit enough chemical response so their bodies don't feel the stress until one day they wake up with a broccoli stalk growing out their head and they've got a terminal brain tumor. But on the interim, from the time those nerves begin sensing the chemicals and put out the symptom, their body can suppress the symptom. They have the strength to do that. Many of you do. So you go numb. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years of numbness. So you're out there going, why do I need to cleanse? I feel okay. I ain't 20 anymore, but I can still walk. No, wrong. You went numb. Nerves understand how to change pain thresholds. So your sensitivities dull. And as those sensitivities dull, you stop getting the signal. Your brain is no longer listened to. Your deep sense of viability is no longer listened to. And so that little shift in you, you don't feel until you got something bad. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So, you've got this whole adaptive pattern now understood to the point where the nerve can even depress its response. You stop feeling pain, or you continue to. So if, in fact, you continue to, if, in a sense, you're fortunate enough to keep receiving these pain sensors, these pain signals, it's the beginning of a message. Now, at the point of pain, generally, we hope, early symptomology, we don't have decay back all the way into the nucleotide sequences of the DNA. Because if it's in your DNA, and this is what we call serious disease, and serious doesn't have to be a named disease. That doesn't necessarily mean cancer or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. It just means you don't get up in the morning. It just means your life is hell. It just means your dreams are shot, your life is hell, you're 60 years old, you don't really feel functional, even though you're doing your job each day, but you're really a zombie, and you don't tell anyone except your loved one, and you and that loved one look at each other in codependence and look out at the mean, cruel world there that betrayed you. You go to your MD, and they say, it's all in your mind. You go to your holistic practitioner, and they say, just let me feed you with herb. That's why you listen to this show. If that's you, understand this little lecture here. It's in your DNA. And if it's in your DNA, it's going to take time. It's going to be piecemeal. You have to depend on the flickers. the little signs, because you're looking at 2 years, 5 years, 6 years. Some of you are looking at a decade. You're going to heal over 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 years, depending upon how radical you want to bring therapy. And radical, I don't mean more herbs. I mean deeper commitments and more apparently, ostensibly bizarre lifestyle changes, like move to another state. Like, don't try to heal a really bad problem living next to an airport or an oil refinery or the Long Beach port or anywhere where the air is brown. There's lots of creative options here if you really get into it. But if somebody just told you that if you did it right for 2 years against just doing it wrong for 20 years, you'd be way ahead financially, spiritually, esoterically, in any way you wanted to know, but no one tells you. If I had known, I wish I had known, what it took to get to this level of knowledge 20 years ago. I found out through trial and error. But there were more elegant ways. I would have taken a doctorate in chemistry from the beginning. Instead, I do it now. But that's not the point. The point is what? The point is you need to know what's required. This type of a consciousness or depth of understanding is required. So fat displaces toxic fat. Big one. You already heard that. Why do you need to listen? Why do you need to listen? You already know that. You don't know it deeply enough. And the fast, sooner or later, some of you are going to have to disintegrate your body. To disintegrate it like Christ disintegrated his. So when your own patterns come up and you feel your faith is questioned in that disintegration, meaning the fast, you can mobilize the nervous system to throw off these covalent and ionic bonds that destroy your health. Now that's health in a nutshell. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc on the website. Make sure you tell your friends. God bless you.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.